another beautiful Tucson Saturday. Brad Alice joined by the coach, Jeff Skurin, the players and trainers perspective, and Glenn Howell, former University of Arizona tight end. And a guy I'm going to be butting heads with here. He's a Raiders fan. I'm a Chiefs fan. We go at it in just about 25 hours. We got revenge in our mind.
You Raiders.
Got, so that should be a lot of fun. But yeah, we're going to be talking some football today as well as some other things. Again, you're listening behind the locker room door, which is brought to you by Eric Painter and the presidential team at Nova Home Loans, Tucson's number one home lender. And as we said last week, We thought we had an exclusive. We still have the coup. Well, in just a little bit, we're going to play Coach Skurin's interview with Rich Rodriguez, which he actually taped a week ago. So for those of you keeping scoreboard out there in internet land or radio land, we did get him first.
Yeah.
But we got some big news on our current events. The AIA, which is the Arizona Interscholastic Association, has a recommendation to postpone the start of winter sports season until January because of the COVID-19. It was approved Thursday by the executive board. That means more than likely January 5th will be the earliest winter sports can play. It's still up to the individual school districts and schools, and they will have to have 2 weeks of mandatory practice before any competition can begin. But for all of the families who have boys and girls basketball players, boys and girls soccer players, and boys and girls wrestlers, and in fact, wrestling is a little bit of a surprise. A lot of teams did not know they'd be able to do wrestling, so I've heard there's some coaches scrambling out there. But they will start January 5th, which means probably somewhere about a week before Christmas, practice is going to start for most teams. So, you know, plan accordingly. If you're one of those who have an athlete who normally are in a tournament and you're thinking, ooh, we get Christmas this year, maybe not. So plan accordingly. In other big news, number 2 South Point volleyball team beat Flagstaff 3-0 Thursday night, and they advanced to this morning's championship game against Notre Dame Prep. Unfortunately, just didn't have results by the time we got on the air. But the Lancers going for another state title, heading up against the number 1 team in Notre Dame Prep. So that's pretty
Heather
exciting
Morris
in Lancer
done a great
land.
Job there. She's just really done a great job.
3 U of A men's basketball players were selected in the NBA draft. Josh Green went number 18 to Dallas. Zeke Nnaji went number 22 to Denver. And Nico Mannion fell a bit to Golden State in the second round, but that means he doesn't just get to move to Glenn's hometown, but he gets to be mentored by Arizona great Steve Kerr. So those three players were all freshmen last year, finding their homes in the NBA, and it is interesting spots for all of them. And as the U of A is playing this weekend,
you know, we have that tough game this afternoon, or tonight. It's going to be for Washington, and that's going to be a tough game. But you know what? There's a little chance. Who knows? After they played the way they played against USC last week, you never know.
And Washington, who dominated statistically, didn't look good against Oregon State.
No, they didn't.
And a couple bizarre spots, was that late in the third or early in the fourth quarter, probably kept Oregon State from scoring at least a field goal, if not a touchdown. So Washington's not the Washington team we saw a couple years ago that was in the national tournament. Granted, the USC team we saw last weekend's not the quintessential USC team. And maybe Arizona's just a whole lot better than we thought.
Yeah.
Well, and listen, Washington is recovering from a loss of a really fine coach and a good man. And it's going to take a little bit of time. And Oregon State has been on a steady increase in the last couple of years. And they're on a five-year plan. And it looks, you know, when you're watching them on TV, it looks like it's showing some results. And I love a well-executed plan. As fans, we all want it today. But in truth, that's just not how it's built in the pack. Because you got some good football teams, and you've had been down for a long time. You got to stick to that plan and be happy with that slow, steady increase as long as you're seeing those positive results. So I tell you what, U of A being on national television 2 weeks in a row now, that's a real boost if we can show more of what we showed last week.
We're talking football. We're talking Arizona football. We're talking coaches. Coach mentioned the great job Jonathan Smith is doing at Oregon State, being an alum. Well, Rich Rodriguez did a great job at West Virginia as an alum. He then turned that into an interesting stay at Michigan, and then, of course, an Arizona stay that had some real highs, some lows. But maybe he's best known, not for the wins and losses, but for his version of the spread offense. And we're going to go behind the locker room door, and Coach Skern is going to pick the brain of Coach Rodriguez. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, he coached his son, Rhett, who's now the backup quarterback at Arizona. So they have a relationship that's very unique than most of us. How many coaches get to coach the son of a coach who's someday going to be a coach? But here we have Jeff Skern. We're going into the coach's locker room, coach's office with Rich Rodriguez.
Today in the coach's office, I've got a good friend and a great football coach, one of the guys in the nation that everybody knows about from the invention of the spread offense, former coach at the University of Arizona, University of Michigan, and Virginia Tech, and just a good all-around guy, Coach Rich Rodriguez. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Coach, good to catch up with you. How you doing?
Oh, we're just hanging in there trying to, you know, do our best with the COVID situation like everybody else. You know how it goes.
Yeah, this is just a crazy year for, you know, obviously it's crazy for athletics, but crazy in general. And I think there's going to be a lot of lessons learned, but hopefully this will be the only year they have to deal with it. And next year gets back to normal.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? As my mom used to say, from your lips to God's ears. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
That's right.
Hey, listen, I want to ask you first, you know, you were on the sidelines for a lot of our games when I was at Cat Foot with your son as quarterback. I'd really like to know what that was like inside, because we have a lot of parents that listen to this show, and maybe you talk to us about that a little bit, but also give us a little advice as someone that went through those battles and watching your own kid and someone that you had trained so well, and what was that like? Sitting on the sideline watching your kid, particularly as a pure freshman, to come out and go into a ball game with a team that had gone 0-10 the previous year.
Yeah, it was a bigger thrill for me than anything I had done in athletics in myself or with any of my teams. You know, and I'm sure every parent out there that's watched their son or daughter compete, and you're sitting in the stands, you know, type of pride and joy, because not only are you that it fills yourself with it, but you know that your son or daughters are having a great experience. And any parent, as you know, will tell you, as long as your kids are happy and enjoying it, life is good. And I was confident. I was very fortunate that he's with you and your staff, and had a great experience at Foothills with a great bunch of teammates, and they won games. And to sit there and to watch the games was different. I couldn't sit in the stands long. I tried that a couple games, but you know, half the people in the stands are kind of looking at something else, not paying attention. And I'm interested is in the game itself. And so sometimes I went down on the sidelines and watched it, but it was a pure joy. And I think it wasn't just because you were winning, because he was getting well coached. I think it was the group of guys he was playing with, and you could tell he was enjoying that experience. And that's as a coach. And I say that, been doing it 30 some years in college. I said, my number one goal, you want to win. But the number one goal is for your players to truly enjoy the experience. And if they had to do it over again, would they do it at the same place? And I'm fortunate my players have said that. And I know Rhett has said that many times about playing for you at Foothill. So it was just a great experience and really enjoyed it. And my advice to parents, Coach, would be out there. And I tell it to parents when I recruited their sons. I said, listen, these coaches know what they're doing. All right, you go there and be a fan, but don't be one that calls a coach and worries about your son or daughter's playing time, because they want to win too much not to play the best people. Just let the coaches coach, give support when you can, give support to your son or daughter, and enjoy the time.
Well, what do you think about these kids that pick up and transfer from school A to school B? You know, when you've recruited them yourself, and do you worry that these kids, first of all, they're leaving their buddies and their friends they grew up with? And also, are you worried when you get them on campus that they might do the same thing for you if things don't go perfect?
Well, I think it's given nowadays, we're in an age where it's instead of toughing it out or grinding through or working your way up, they just want to look for the easy way out. And that's not always. There are always certain exceptions where transferring because maybe their coach left, or transferring because their parents moved or what have you, or something like that. But, you know, the NCAA is going to implement, I'm afraid, a one-time transfer available for anybody. And that just makes it easy. It's like right now, it's easy for kids to opt out. It's hard to make it go through the stuff. hard stuff. And we're making it, I think, too easy on kids nowadays to say, well, I go over here, it's easier over here, or I go over there and start right now instead of trying to earn their way up through there. I know players go through that, but I wish more kids would grind a little bit and try to fight and prove themselves and not leave at the first opportunity because they think it's easier somewhere else.
We had an incident, with some kids over times, as the coaches, and everybody's had it, where a kid's just unhappy, and it usually comes down to playing time or position. And you've been in those situations where kids will come and say, coach, if you don't play me or if you don't do this, I'm going to pick up and transfer. Nowadays, with the transfer portal, that's going to happen, right?
Oh, that's going to happen. And usually I tell the players, I said, I don't want to talk to your parents. Don't have them call me about playing time again because I like to win too much. But it didn't bother me if a player came to me and said, coach, I want to play more or I think I should be starting. And then we would lay out to them, this is why you're not. This is what you need to do. And they'd either accept that and get going with it or it didn't happen. And sometimes it's just youth. They're not quite big enough or strong enough or what have you. Don't know what they're doing yet. But again, I think, sometimes they think, obviously all parents think their kids are the best, and they hear from outside the building, outside, man, you should be playing more, blah, blah, blah. Well, think about it. Maybe you got a little bit of work to do. And to those that fight through that, it works out okay. Case in point was Khalil Tate. Back in 2017, Khalil had missed about a month of practice because he's injured. He hadn't practiced much. He came to my office the week of the Colorado game. It was the first week he was practicing. He was healthy. He said, coach, I really want to play. And he was emotional. And I said, Khalil, that's great to hear from you. All right, but what you have to do is you got to practice this week. And you got to give us confidence to put you in the game. I haven't seen that in the last month. If you do that this week, you'll get a chance to play on Saturday at Colorado. Well, he had a great week of practice. He got a chance to go in there in the first quarter. And for the next month and a half, he was the best quarterback in college football. So it was really neat to see him fight through there and earn that.
One of the things we always say as coaches, the old saying, the eye in the sky don't lie. But that happens at practice, too, particularly even in big-time high school football. Everything's filmed, so you could, it's not really a mystery as to who the better kid is. And as you well know, all the kids on the team know who should be the guy.
They do. Players, like you said, sometimes people just evaluate in games. It's, particularly in football, you play once a week. And so you got three or four practices where you're getting judged at and getting evaluated, and you got a chance to prove yourself. So you prove yourself normally in practice first before you even get an opportunity. And college coaches, it doesn't matter whether you're 4-star, 5-star, 3-star, walk-on. Once you get on the practice field and the drill start and the practice starts, they make their, like you said, they film everything and when they make their evaluations there. And then when they get in the game, they get an opportunity to make the most of it. They got to go and do it. And, that's like Rhett, my son. He's been grinding through there. He's been there 3.5 years now, and he got a chance to start a couple years ago against UCLA. I thought he played well and kind of proved himself. And they got another quarterback coming in, so he's got to prove himself all over again. And he's done that. But he's making the most of his opportunity because he's got a degree already. He'll have his master's degree in a year. And he's kind of the only quarterback maybe that didn't bail throughout the country. And he keeps trying to prove himself. Now, he's got 2 more years after this, and he'll have his degree in hand, so he'll have a chance to go somewhere if he wanted to do that. But he's closed the deal at U of A. I mean, he's got his degree and did what he's supposed to do, and he's playing 4 years there. So he's the exception now, and that's unfortunate.
We're going to pick up on this real quick in the second segment of our show. And so hang in there, Rich, and we're going to commercial break. Thank you very much. Hold on.
We'll be back with more with Rich Rodriguez right after this.
Hi, it's Bill and Ramon from CPRDU. We're proud to sponsor Behind the Locker Room Door. As with any activity, there's always a possibility of getting injured.
CPRDU trains many of our youth, high school, and college coaches in CPR and first aid. We want you to come and take a certified CPR course. Mention you heard this on Behind the Locker Room Door and get a 50% discount. Contact us at cpr2u.com or call us at 520-400-8204. At CPR2U, we save lives.
Concord General Contractor, where integrity, collaboration, growth, and being uncommon comes together in every project we complete.
This is Coach Jeff Skurin. I'd like to tell you about my friend Dan Price of Price & Price Attorneys. As our family attorney, Dan was so much more than a professional helping us in our time of need. He was a true friend of the family. If you don't know Dan, let me tell you that he's organized, prepared, intelligent, and a sincere person as you're ever going to meet. We trust Dan with our family needs, and we know that you can trust him with yours. If you have a personal injury case, call Price & Price and ask for Dan.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Force for Health, where everybody can be a force for health. For themselves, their families, and communities. Visit theforceforhealth.com for more information.
This is Edmund Marquez with Allstate Insurance. I had the pleasure of playing football for Coach Skurin on the Sabino High School undefeated state championship team of 1990. Coach Skurin taught us to leave it all out on the field, to have a plan, and to work hard to execute that plan. At our local Allstate agencies, we take that same winning attitude when helping our clients protect their assets and their loved ones. If you want to be in good hands and save money on your home and auto insurance, please call the Edmund Marquez Allstate agencies today.
This segment of Behind the Locker Room Door is brought to you by Edmund Marquez Allstate Agencies. You're in good hands with Edmund and his team for your home and auto insurance needs. And we're going to waste no time. We're going back to Coach's office to talk more with Rich Rodriguez.
Welcome back to segment number two of my interview with Coach Rich Rodriguez inside my coach's office. Coach Rich, you were the guy that invented the spread offense, and now you're seeing it not just in high school and college, but now it's even made its way to the NFL. Tell me a little bit about what you did to bring that into play and the history behind that, and how you must feel now watching on Sunday and watching this thing could just spread to every level of football.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. You know, they say that necessity is the mother of invention. And so 30 years ago when I was coaching in a small college, and they really struggled before we got there offensively, and we thought, okay, we have an open slate. I was a defensive guy before then, but I'll switch over to offense. I'm a head coach. I'm going to say, what gave me the most trouble as a defensive coach? And it was always when the teams would spread you out and do their two-minute drill before the end of the half or the end of the game. And so we thought, what the heck? Let's just try that the whole game. Let's go fast. Let's spread people out. Let's run a two-minute drill the whole game, and we'll give us a chance because we'll be in better shape than the teams we play. So we labored around and did it there for 7 years, and not a lot of people knew about it then. But then when I got a job at Tulane down in New Orleans with Tommy Bowden as offensive coordinator, and we did it there, it was unique and was got to be on TV. Then I was at Clemson and got to be more exposure, and then at West Virginia, we started to have some athletic quarterbacks to run, and then it just kind of took off from there. And I thought it was only going to be a matter of time for the NFL because the NFL gets – obviously, they get their quarterbacks from college. And so college is now inundated with these kind of athletic quarterbacks make plays in space. So the NFL has no choice. That's what they're going to go to. And now you're seeing the Russell Wilsons and Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, all those guys that are athletic and run – and spread people out and using tempo, and it's really neat to see that, and you're seeing high schools all over the country use it too. So there's a lot of versions of it now, but it is fun to watch for sure.
And you get in that old argument of what's better to select this quarterback, a kid who can run, who's a heady kid, and we teach him to pass, or a kid who's a natural passer, who's athletic, and we can maybe teach him to run and protect himself a little bit. Which do you favor?
Well, we're in college. You're fortunate, and in the NFL, that you can recruit a guy and pick a guy that can do both. You know, he might be better at running, or he might be better at throwing, but we don't have to teach him to throw because obviously we can recruit that. In high school, you got what you got, so you you're a lot more. There's a lot more teaching going on in high school as far as teaching a young man out of eighth grade or seventh grade or ninth grade how to throw the football. And some fundamentals in running and all that. So I like a guy that's athletic, that can get rid of the ball quickly. Obviously, you got to be able to make all the throws, but I don't like a big stiff guy because he can't ever get out of pressure and it can make you one dimensional. That quarterback, you ask any defensive guys, a quarterback that can run and get out of trouble, especially if they're going to play man coverage on defense, is a nightmare for your defense because you could have everybody covered and you can't catch that one guy. And when you run your quarterback, you're playing with 11 on 11 instead of 10 on 11.
You know, when I speak at clinics, I like to try and tell defensive coordinators, you know, everybody says, you know, you can't, how do you account for the broken play? And I tell them, if you can't account for the broken play anymore, you're going to lose a lot of football games, because that's what the spread has brought to us. The quarterback escaping in a gap in the push pass rush or getting outside of contain, God forbid, in the defense, and has a lot of time to scan that field and throw. And now guys throwing a frozen rope for 40 yards, that's a pretty common thing nowadays.
Yeah, and then if you have a quarterback that is faster than anybody in their front seven, their D linemen or linebackers, that's a serious issue. You know, the corners or safeties might be as fast, but they're either covering people or they're deeper down the field. When your quarterback is faster than any of the dudes that are rushing him or any of the dudes that may be blitzing him, that's an issue for you on defense.
I remember when Vince Young won the national championship against USC, and Pete Carroll was the head coach, and he had put that spy defense out there, and that poor kid that they put on Vince Young at that last play, and he was there, but it was a mismatch athletically, and that propelled Vince Young's team to the national championship. And I think that's impacted all of football, just that one play.
Sure did. And it was around the same time in 2006. When we were at West Virginia, we played Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. And of course, all we heard all week was the SEC and their speed and the SEC speed, so on and so forth. And we had a redshirt freshman quarterback named Patrick White, who was pretty fast, and scored 28 points in the first quarter because they couldn't catch him on the angle because he was so much faster than any quarterback they had seen in the SEC. And I still hear about it today from SEC fans and Georgia fans, like, man, we never seen nothing like that. And so it is true, and it's here to stay. It's not going to go backwards, because if you watch throughout high school football nowadays and in college football, you're seeing athletic quarterbacks that can run, and seeing spread systems, and I think it's here to stay.
You know, speaking of the SEC, you coached last year at Ole Miss. Now, tell the fans what's that like, because, you know, I grew up in the SEC at Florida, and you've gotten a good taste of it yourself now. Can you explain to the people, no matter how big Arizona ASU is, and it's huge, or no matter how big UCLA is versus USC, and it's huge, you know, what's it like week to week in the SEC?
Well, their slogan is "It just means more," and it truly does. When you're in the middle of it, you see how much, you know, not just money that's spent in each program, but the competitiveness in recruiting, which goes on every day of the year. The competitiveness in practice, you know, the importance of it from your fan base. I mean, it literally is like a religion to people in the South, and they live and die with the success of their team in the SEC. And as a coach, you want to be in that. And as a player, you want to be in that. So it was really enjoyable. Sometimes it was over at the top a little bit at times, but it was really fun as a coach. And sure, as a player, you just want it to be important. And as a college coach myself, everywhere you've been, I've been places where it's been very, very important, and some places where it's been semi-important, and we try to make it very important. But that's what you do as a coach. You want to be, and as a player, you want to compete in an environment where it's really, really important, and then that way you can go improve yourself.
Well, that was the number one compliment I think you paid to me in my time at Catfoot with your son, and I'll never forget it. And you one time on television said to the fans that Coach Skern has gone to that school and made football important. And I really appreciated that more than you'll ever know, because, you know, it is a culture, and that's what you have built in the SEC. You have that culture of football that a lot of people in the rest of the country, you know, there's certain places in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania where they really get it also, but it's all over the Deep South.
That's right, and it's the same as at high school. I mean, when you were at Foothills, you made the players, and it sensed the importance that you put on it. They saw the work that you put in, and they know that. You can't trick kids nowadays. You might, you know, some coaches may try to trick the fans, whatever, but people in the program know how important it is by the work that you put in and how much emphasis you put on the players doing the right things on and off the field.
Well, thank you so much for taking this time to talk to me today. And, you know, I wish you the best. You know, I think some upcoming good times are heading your way. And wish your whole family a lot of good luck, and stay healthy and safe. And, you know, we love you, buddy. So keep up the good work.
Well, I appreciate you too. I've always admired all your work, and let's keep in touch.
That was Coach Skurin with Coach Rich Rodriguez. We'll break that down and a lot more when we come back. You're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door, which is brought to you by Edwin Marquez Allstate Agencies. You're in good hands with Edmund and his team for your auto and home insurance needs. We'll be back right after this.
We would like to thank our sponsor, Tom Jones. Keep listening for the Adaptive Athlete segment, where we talk about athletes who overcame the odds and continued their athletic career, and those who have turned into athletes despite their unfortunate circumstances.
This is Edmund Marquez with Allstate Insurance. I had the pleasure of playing football for Coach Skurin on the Sabino High School undefeated state championship team of 1990. Coach Skurin taught us to leave it all out on the field, to have a plan and to work hard to execute that plan. At our local Allstate agencies, we take that same winning attitude when helping our clients protect their assets and their loved ones. If you want to be in good hands and save money on your home and auto insurance, please call the Edmund Marquez Allstate Agencies today.
Concord General Contractor, where integrity, collaboration, growth, and being uncommon comes together in every project we complete. Special thanks to our sponsor, Hazen Enterprises, providing quality office space in Tucson for the past 40 years.
Hi, it's Bill and Ramon from CPRDU. We're proud to sponsor Behind the Locker Room Door. As with any activity, there's always a possibility of getting injured.
CPRDU trains many of our youth, high school, and college coaches in CPR and first aid. We want you to come and take a certified CPR course. Mention you heard this on Behind the Locker Room Door and get a 50% discount. Contact us at cprtou.com or call us at 520-400-8204. At CPRDU, we save lives.
This segment of Behind the Locker Room Door is brought to you by CPR2U. Learn CPR and save a life. And a lot unpacked from that interview, whether you're a diehard football junkie, whether you're a family dynamic, coaching dynamic, team dynamic fan, or whether you just like to hear two old ball coaches, as I think Coach Spurrier called you guys, just talking and as the kids would say, chopping it up, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't say that, but it's just a fascinating conversation and you know, talking about the spread offense. And certainly Rich Rodriguez put his stamp on that offense. A lot of the read option, certainly, you know, some elements of the old Veer, some elements of some of the old SWAC, the run and shoot, which was Miles Davis's version. But really what he did, the way they ran it, first at Tulane, and if people don't remember, Tulane had a heck of a quarterback who played in the NFL for a while with Tampa Bay, then later with Dantzler at Clemson, and then finally with Pat White at West Virginia. It took all these disparate elements, so a little bit of run and shoot, a lot of bit of the West Coast, a lot of the Veer and Reed option, and kind of put it all together into what is now a very prevalent offense, not just in college football, not just in a little bit in pro football. Most of the high schools in this city run it, and you'll even see Pop Warner TYF teams running it. It's everywhere, and 25 years ago, we barely saw it.
You know, if you watch the old Washington Redskins back in the days of the Hogs, and with Joe Gibbs as the head coach, they ran about 75% of their running play schemes were zone. And it wasn't a read zone, but it had a waggle action off of it. And you still see that same stuff repackaged today. And as coaches, we always say, you know, you have to learn from the past. You just can't, this business of reinventing things and redoing things. You know, you see somebody just put something in and go out and win with it immediately. It's probably because the talent at that school was better than the opposing talent right away. These things take a while. You got to get the right people in place. You know, Coach Rodriguez and I talk about, off of mic, we talk about Michigan and those things. You know, you went there and Michigan didn't have that guy. And it wasn't going to happen immediately. And you know, it's just like anything else. It's like what Glenn does with kids in the weight room or out on the field. You just don't put them out there and tell them what to do and wham, bam, it's done. Because if you do, you got a freak there. It's not the way it usually works.
And it takes the time to get the people in place. And, you know, and we had that one time that we had everybody in place in when we won the Pac-12 South. I mean, that is something that we had all the elements. We had a great run game. We had a great, you know, some good receivers out there, and we had somebody who can roll out and get and run the ball and do everything. So you look
at that. It still took a little bit of luck if you look at that Cal game.
Yeah,
you know,
it did.
It's crazy how even with all the perfect elements, there's good luck.
Yep.
That team, 98, a little bit of bad luck, that hurricane.
Yeah, and it's some things that have to be in place. And I see with the run and shoot, and you know, you called the runs with Miles Davis when he did that. And then, you know, in the NFL, look at the teams except for Tom Brady, every single one of those quarterbacks that are viable or one of the best quarterbacks now are one of those guys.
And
you know,
but there's still room for Big Ben.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely
NFL is unique because there's always room for the big arm and the mind that could just see it develop.
You got that guy.
How do you imagine a Drew Brees in the NFL, let alone as a mega superstar and probably a NFL Hall of Famer someday? How do you project that guy into that position in the NFL? And in the fact of the matter, he was the right guy with the right coach with the right skill set for what they wanted to do. And sometimes it takes those elements, you know, and people, you know, we coach high school and college, you know, and a small college particularly, and anything, even youth football, and you want something, you like something, you want to do it. But one of the things that I've always tried to get coaches to understand is, you know, it may not be there yet with the guys that you have.
Yeah.
And you've got to play to the skill set of the players you have. And it doesn't matter if you're an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. You just can't take square pegs and shove them in the round holes. And it's the same in the weight room, you know, working, you know, with a short, squatty little center or an NBA 7-foot center, you know, trying to teach them how to squat. Yeah. You know, one guy goes down a foot and a half, the other guy's got a 4-foot distance to travel to do the same exercise.
Yeah, and Jeff, you're absolutely, we've had this conversation plenty of times, that you got to play the offense, the defense of what your personnel has. Sometimes you have to change. So many times these coaches are in their set plan. This is what I have. The ones that are successful are the ones that make the adjustments.
You know, it's ironic. When I coached out at Cholla, and that was back in the early 2000s when the spread was just coming on, and Northwestern ran it. They ran a very different version, but basically, they didn't have the personnel to play Big Ten football. They didn't have those 300-pound linemen. They had 270-pound linemen. But what they did is they had a big power back, and they spread four receivers out, and they had a quarterback who was smart. Duh, it's Northwestern. When we're at Cholla, you didn't have a lot of size. You didn't have a lot of speed, and I begged the coach to put that in. No, we tried to run power, and when you get up against Sunnyside, it just doesn't work. But that's the kind of the beauty of what Rich Rodriguez, even though it's a very specific offense, you can run it, his version, very differently. There were games where he had Anu Solomon throwing 50 times.
Yeah.
There were games where he had Khalil Tate where he wanted to run 50 times. You had, you know, even a guy like Dawkins who had bad games, but he put 65 on UTEP and looked like a Heisman player that night.
Yeah. You know, I coached at Oregon against Miles Davis. And it's one of my most memorable games because for 17 years, I was a pure run and shoot guy. And when I got up to Oregon, and there's Miles Davis with all his acolytes in different schools now, and they're running the true, unfiltered run and shoot, just like it was out of the book from the 1950s with Glenn Tiger Ellison. And you know, you see these masters, and I had a kid who ended up making some All-American list at tight end, and so I redeveloped that package with the tight end and flipped him from strong to weak side and gave them a lot of trouble because he was so set on what he did, and they had a lot of trouble adjusting. And I'll never forget that we won that game, and never should have been in the ball game. And I'm not even close to the level of coach this guy is, believe me. And yet we were able to win that game by doing what we could with the talent that we had. And that's part, you know, you have the science of coaching, and that's the X's and O's, and you got to learn it, you got to know it. Because, you know, the worst thing, you get on the field with your kids and you can't answer, you know, somebody makes an adjustment and you don't have an answer for it, you can't adjust. And that's just bad. That creates gaps in your credibility. But you have to be able to take what you got and mold it into a winning formula and get the kids out there to go, you know, coach, this could work. This could work. And when you got that, you got a chance.
And when they and when they're putting their hand in the ground and they're setting in their stance, they know where they're going. And if you make it simplified, and I think that's one thing that you've been very successful with, Jeff, is that every time I watch your teams, they always seem to know where they're going. That's the biggest thing. You don't see guys looking around thinking like, oh, should I make this call, or you know, I missed this. You know, it's everything is execution, and that's where I think it's. And I do that the same thing in the weight room. I want someone to walk by the weight room to say, man, these guys know how to lift. They really know how to lift. I won't tolerate horrible form, anything like that. That's the same thing that it leads out to the football field or the basketball field, the volleyball court, everywhere. Everything, it starts with, you know, the technique and understanding what you're supposed to do.
You know, Glenn, you were there and you saw this, my four-year journey with Rhett Rodriguez as our quarterback at Foothills. And what we did his freshman year was strictly my stuff and what I thought we needed to do with the talent to go from 0-10 and reverse that and make it to the playoffs in our first year. And then each of those next three successive years, you know, we added a little bit more of what Rhett can do. But, you know, at 15, it was limited. At 17, 18, it was drastically different. You know, he had, you know, 200-300 rushing yards as a freshman, and he had 800 rushing yards as a senior. And, you know, and that just shows that what's possible in a player's development and the confidence that the rest of the team has that he's going to make those right reads and the right calls. You know, on any given pass play, he could throw it to three, four guys. That's a choice. And people come to me and say, well, why didn't you throw it to this guy that night? And I go, you know, the ball's not in my hand.
Yeah.
You know, I called the play, but I'm not going to second guess a quarterback who's throwing it over, you know, almost 65% completions as a junior in high school just because we got this really good receiver who wants better stats. You know, you don't take the ball out of your quarterback's hands. And that's, you know, and this is still a game of you win by not making mistakes.
You know, and you know, Rich Rodriguez and you, Coach, mentioned a lot of things about the players jumping ship, and whether that's the transfer portal, whether that's you see it all the time in youth sports, where they're, I don't like this team, so I'm going to this team. And sometimes it's to win, but more often not, it's to star. It's to coddle. We even see it in the pros, where you'll see a guy, I'm a Suns fan, so how many times did a guy want to leave Phoenix, where they had a chance to win championships, never did, to be the guy? Joe Johnson going to Atlanta, where I think they won 20 games, and you know, even Sean Marion leaving. And now we see it with the transfer portal, and even locally we see it with the, you know, the open enrollment, where you don't play for your neighborhood school anymore necessarily. And that, it takes some of the fun out of it, but we've basically seen the, if you're not by the freeway, or by Tangerine Road, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to win football games or a lot of other sports. But it's not. It's you want to win, but at the same time, you don't want to build it the hard way.
Yeah, I don't want to be too old school, but there's just a lot, you know, to be gained, for, as Rich Rod said, through overcoming adversity. I don't know where you learn that. It's very tough to teach at home when you have such a protected atmosphere. And sports were always with growing up, and you go to the same thing. You know, you're growing up and you earn your keep. That was the thing about sports. It was always you know, if the coaches were decent and wanted to win, it was, you know, what I call a fair day's pay. You know, because you go out in the field and your playing time reflected with how well you practiced and how effective you were with the team. I was not the best athlete at quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. And my playing time came from the fact that I could lead the team. Mm-hmm. And that's what we needed, because the running backs we had were just out of sight, particularly my freshman year in college, a guy named Larry Smith that ended up, you know, playing for the Rams and being a superstar in the NFL. You know, you have that kind of talent. You got to give that guy the rock.
And the thing is that I just get disappointed because, you know, we don't see the three-sport athlete anymore, because we're eliminating that. I remember I played three sports, basketball, baseball, and football. And every season, the only complete season I ever played was football, because it was the first season. Basketball coach would tell the guys on the basketball team, hey, you better get your time in now, because the football players are coming and they're going to start right away. Didn't get any complaints from the from the parents because they knew that we were the better athletes. The better athletes were succeeding, were doing, and if you wanted to play, you had to get better. And there are some guys that got better. And then we go to baseball season, the same thing. We need to get back to playing the best kids. And just because you're there and you're playing that one sport, I think that's where we get into the soft society thing. And that's how we got to be able to make these kids work harder. If you're not playing, you got to play. You got to work a little harder, get better.
Yeah,
that's where I think we need to be.
I'd like to change that from the best athlete to the most effective athlete, particularly in terms of team sports. You know, I look at Langdon Donovan, if I got his name right, the soccer superstar, you know, and he couldn't make it in any European team, but he was the superstar of the last real men's run in soccer, in World Cup soccer, and it's some of the wins that he pulled off, you know, with his team, and some of the passes he made to set up the really the better shooter, and some of the individual plays he made within the system. It was just incredible. There's always room for Steve Kerr, really, when you get right down to it. There's always room for a Steve Kerr. You could do your job within the system. To think about the amount of playing time that he got with the Bulls and the amount of rings that he has now in his pocket, and look at Judd Bushler. How did that guy find a way to three championship rings in the NBA? I mean, great player at the U of A, but come on now. As far as overall athletes compared to the NBA, he's got three rings. How's that possible?
Yeah, he did his role. There are role players. They're going to be role players. I think that's what they have to be. But we have to understand that if you're not getting the playing time, you got to get better. You got to get better. It's nothing against you. And then what Rich was saying about these kids that are, you know, he even referred to it is that when you have a guy that you're making $3 million a year, you're going to play the best guys because you got to win in order to maintain that check. So I don't think at major college universities that they're playing the guys that they don't, you know, they only like. They got to play the best guys that are going to be able to play and be the best successful for the team.
Well, we could talk about this all day, and this will be a topic of conversation in the future. But we are going to change gears here. We're going to learn the latest and greatest and what's going on in the world of adaptive athletics when we come back. Reminding you, this segment of Behind the Locker Room Door is brought to you by CPR2U. Learn CPR and save a life. And we'd like to thank our title sponsor. Behind the Locker Room Door is brought to you by Eric Painter and the presidential team at Nova Home Loans, Tucson's number one home leader. When we come back, a little bit about the adaptive athletics, and maybe we'll find a few more minutes to talk about toughing it out and doing what's best for the team, which is, in the end, best for you. You're listening to Behind the Locker Room Door.
This is Coach Jeff Skurin. I'd like to tell you about my friend Dan Price of Price & Price Attorneys. As our family attorney, Dan was so much more than a professional, helping us in our time of need. He was a true friend of the family. If you don't know Dan, let me tell you that he's organized, prepared, intelligent, and a sincere person as you're ever going to meet. We trust Dan with our family needs, and we know that you can trust him with yours. If you have a personal injury case, call Price & Price and ask for Dan.
Becoming a homeowner is probably on your bucket list, but are you ready to go for the goal? You might have heard that interest rates are at an all-time low, but what does that mean for you? Eric Painter with Nova Home Loans presidential team is a former athlete and letter winner from the U of A, and he wants to help you navigate the current market and score your dream home. If you want to work with a lender who'll never stop working for you, call Eric Painter today at 419-9457 or visit novapresidentialteam.com. NMLS 172753. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087. BK09024. Equal housing opportunity. Terms and conditions may apply.
Special thanks to our sponsor, Hazen Enterprises, providing quality office space in Tucson for the past 40 years.
One day while motoring around free and easy and listening to his favorite radio station, Bob heard all about it. Jack Furrier Tire and Auto Care, advertising affordable tires and no hidden extras. Jack Furrier's one low price included valve stems and the other critical tire thingies that cost additional elsewhere, but not at Jack Furrier's. As synchronicity and predictable cliches would have it, yes, you guessed it. At that moment, Bob spotted one of Jack Furrier's 14 convenient locations. With no hesitation and great acceleration, Bob claimed his new set of quite affordable steel-belted radials installed for one low price at Jack Furrier Tire and Auto Care. Thingies included.
That's right, Bob. And right now, you'll save big on brands like BF Goodrich and Michelin. Get up to $120 back through December 9th. To bank the big bucks like Bob, call or visit one of our 14 convenient locations. For affordable tires and quality auto repair, think Jack Furrier Tire and Auto Care. Since 1960, we're here to get you there.
We would like to thank our sponsor, Tom Jones. Keep listening for the Adaptive Athlete segment, where we talk about athletes who overcame the odds and continued their athletic career, and those who have turned into athletes despite their unfortunate circumstances.
This segment of Behind the Locker Room Door is brought to you by Tom Jones. We appreciate Tom Jones supporting this show and supporting Adaptive Athletics in Southern Arizona. We're going to go out to the we got to get a name for the hotline. Our good friend who's been on a few times with us, Richard Brown, and Richard's going to give us the kind of the latest and greatest what's going on in Adaptive Athletics. It sounds like there's some news going on. Hey, Richard, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate the opportunity.
What's going on, Richard? Tell us what's happening out there in the Adaptive Athletes and what's going on at the U of A too. Any news? Any breaking news? Anything going on? What's going on?
Yes, sir. It looks like we're going to have a documentary shot here, right here in town, on the U of A and the Adaptive Athletics program there, as well as some of the athletes who are getting ready for Tokyo 2021.
That's awesome.
So BBC is going to be a part of it. We're looking for just community support in every kind of way we can, but just to get the Adaptive Athletics name out there. Is for sure the goal, and it was such an awesome opportunity for Tucson and the University of Arizona, as well as myself being selected for this project. So that's super amazing, as well as the season being underway. I know a lot of guys with COVID and everything going on haven't had the opportunity to compete in almost a year. So with guys getting back to action, I think that's a wonderful opportunity.
Richard, we have, I just don't think a lot of people know this, but we have here in town one of the USA's best adaptive athletic program here at the U of A. Can you tell us a little bit about the whole structure of this thing? Because it's really an amazing program.
Yes, sir. It's an opportunity for the younger athletes to have a bridge, just like the able bodies do. The able bodies have that opportunity to have that developmental time in college, whether it's going from high school to the college rank, then onto whatever their pro rank is in their sport. The U of A gives adaptive athletes that same opportunity, whether it's wheelchair tennis, wheelchair basketball. We have wheelchair rugby. We have we have racing with our adaptive athletics track and field. We call it athletics, but it's track and field here in the States. I keep forgetting that sometimes. So adaptive track and field. And we have more than about 12 or 13 potential Paralympians going into Tokyo. So it's one of the biggest programs in the country and very, very ingratiated in the community here in Tucson.
So, Richard, do they have to be a student at the University of Arizona, or can they be a Pima and still be a participant in that program?
You can be a Pima student, and you don't actually have to be a student at all to be to come down and be a part of the Adaptive Athletics program. We're just providing resources for kids with disability to be able to compete and have that opportunity to, you know, go pro a lot of the times, because I know people don't realize that adaptive athletics do have pro ranks, but they do. A lot of our athletes go on to support themselves and support their families and represent Team USA as well as themselves on the international market. So it's really a kind of a springboard, you can say, U of A is for a lot of these athletes into their careers.
You know, with the games being delayed to 2021 from 2020, does that help because it gives you an additional year, or did it throw everything off because there's such a fine-tuned schedule to prepare for something?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think once you wrap your brain around, like any athlete wraps your brain around what was actually happening, there's nothing you can do about it. It's, okay, now what do we do to get ready for our next event, which is 2021? And that extra training time helped everybody, whether it was, you know, except for some of us who are older on the back end of our career. You know, yeah, we are a year older, but we had that year to train and fine-tune and do the things that we needed to do to get ready for Tokyo and, most importantly, trials, because we got to go to, unlike other countries, we have here in America, we have to make trials and then come in top three at tryouts, and it's the hardest team in the world to make for a reason. Just getting to trials is an accomplishment in itself, but becoming, you know, an Olympian and or slash Paralympian and going to represent Team USA is a feat in itself. So definitely have that support system here in Tucson with the U of A, and it's so awesome to have Peter and Coach Brown and Brian and everybody down there, because you have former Paralympians who are coaches now, who are sharing their knowledge with the next generation. And I think that's the best thing about that adaptive athletics program. Every coach has been to the games at least once. So to have that experience at our program is second to none.
So, Richard, you, how is your training going, and what is on your calendar? Are you have any competitions coming up? And tell us about your training. How that is going?
Everything's been going good. I think like most of us in the sport right now, we're really looking forward to an opportunity to compete. A lot of our European competitors got an opportunity to compete at the back end of last year just to get the cobwebs shaken loose. But we're looking at February, which is the start of the IPC Adaptive Athletics Grand Prix, which is kind of like the adaptive athletics version of the Diamond League or the pro circuit of track and field amongst adaptive athletics in track and field. So we're really looking forward to Dubai in February. We're going to run the 100, the 400. We're going to do some jumps, and we're going to do at least one throw. Coach wants me to have a pretty round meet, getting ready for going to qualify for Olympic trials, hopefully in March. Try to get it out the way, because the earlier we get the qualification, the earlier we can get in front of the board about, you know, them letting me compete or not. So that's the goal so far. But at the same time, most of the work I've been doing has been backing the sport as a whole. We really want to show and showcase the University of Arizona in this next documentary series, and just showing how far adaptive athletics have come, not just here in Tucson, but in the Southwest, going over to LA. And we have so many athletes just in our region, and how this sport has grown, and how we have resources now, like the U of A, like, you know, Ability 360 up in Phoenix, like SDSU over in San Diego. So,
hey, Richard, we appreciate you coming on. We're coming up to it. We know you got to get back to training anyways. We appreciate you coming on, cluing us in, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Richard Brown from University of Arizona Adaptive Athletics. And, guys, that's another show. It flies by so fast. Once again, joined by Jeff Skurin, the coach, who had the great interview with Rich Rodriguez. Glenn Howell giving his insights and the players and the trainers' perspective. Make sure to check us out at our website, behindthelockerroomdoor.com. And once again, I want to thank Tom Jones for sponsoring our Adaptive Athletics segment, and Eric Painter and the presidential team at Nova Home Loans for sponsoring the show. We'll see you again next Saturday, a holiday weekend, but we'll still be here for Jeff Skurin and Glenn Howell. I'm Brad Allison, and you've been listening to Behind the Locker Room Door.